Now, PW Torch brings you the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. It's time to talk this week's WWE SmackDown Live.
Well, I think Buddy Murphy has been exonerated, Rich Fan.
Yeah, I mean, clearly, from what we saw at the end of SmackDown, we now know that the gentleman who might need to see a dermatologist for that giant bump on the top of his head who looks suspiciously like Eric Rowan was clearly the man who assaulted Roman all these times.
Yeah, so how do you feel about that? Like, to me, it is totally Daniel Bryan-esque to come up with somebody who looks like Rowan to try to exonerate Rowan from being the culprit. But it also puts, I guess, Roman Reigns in the position to have to be sort of like Sting, the dumb babyface, who's really slow at figuring out that the Four Horsemen really aren't sincere, that there's some chicanery and trickery going on here, and that Rowan did do it. Buddy Murphy honestly did see Rowan, but they went out and searched for a lookalike and captured him and brought him in. I mean, it makes sense, but you have to be, if you're Roman Reigns, you got to be really gullible to not see it for what it is. So I'm a little, as entertaining as it is, and I get a kick out of it, because again, it fits Daniel Bryan's MO as a heel, I'm a little worried Reigns looks foolish if his reaction isn't what everybody at home is, which is, you know, come on, we know the game being played. Rowan was the guy.
I think for Roman, and I get it falls under what I was saying yesterday on Twitter about Raw, where if they like you, it's different. I think because he has so much goodwill, him being in the Sting role doesn't hurt him right now. If anything, he usually would be in the too cool for school kid mode. So he can play the dummy, so to speak, for a little while. I mean, I wouldn't extend this for like a month, but I think a week, the end of an episode is long enough for him to kind of come to his senses and say, okay, this is kind of ridiculous. Do you really think I'm going to fall for this? He didn't really need to blow it up at the end of SmackDown and start fighting Rowan and Bryan, but I think he has enough time where he can figure it out and he won't lose any steam, I think.
Yeah, I hope Reigns comes out of this looking sharp and not dim-witted. So I would just caution him and the writers against seeming like he's dim-witted here and gullible. But Buddy Murphy, not only was he exonerated, he saw someone he thought looked like Rowan. It turns out, in all likelihood, because what are the odds of a random person who looks like Eric Rowan trying to end Roman Reigns' career? So with a straight face, I say that as best I can. So Buddy Murphy saw Rowan and under duress, you know, said he lied, which isn't great, but it was a 2-on-1 attack and all that. But Buddy Murphy gets a win against Daniel Bryan tonight. Another outstanding match. What course is Buddy Murphy on right now? Has he been marginalized based on, you know, getting thrown around like a rag doll last week and not really fighting back, lying apparently under duress about it not being Rowan when he genuinely thought it was? Or do we give him the benefit of you know, it was a 2-on-1 and, you know, there's a whole witness nervousness. Did I really see what I think I saw? Like, how is Murphy coming out of this? Obviously, wrestling fans recognize how good he is now on a wider scale than they had before. And that can't be taken away through this storyline. And that level of skill can push its way through some sludge otherwise in terms of how he comes across. So is he coming out ahead, behind? Where do you see him after the last few weeks?
I would put him ahead because up until this point, he'd been known as the best-kept secret of 205 Live, and then when he was brought over to SmackDown, the best-kept secret of SmackDown. Secret's out. He has had two really good matches, and particularly in this match I noted on Twitter, I was amazed that for all of my enjoyment of New Japan, usually when there's head drops, usually where there's things like the V-trigger Kamigoye, the wrist clutch knee attack to the head that you saw at the end, even his usage of the Murphy's Law, there would be a lot of head droppy situations that would occur with those moves. And with Daniel Bryan, especially with his concussion history, the care with which he took care of Daniel Bryan for those moves,
yes,
shows a man that has a control of his body in a way that he isn't yet. A lot of people had the complaint when he was in 205 Live he was just cosplaying New Japan finishes, where I would argue he's just showing that he has the ability to synthesize what he sees there, bring it to a WWE style and make it work. And I think this was an example of him making it work. And I was a little worried when he had that great match with Roman Reigns and then was tossed just unceremoniously on the trash can last week, that they really were going to kind of push him behind. But after this, after the win with Brian, and after even Roman being put in the situation with, he has the, as we just said, did he do it? Did he not do it? I think Buddy Murphy is kind of getting a lot of steam behind him, and I hope they continue with it.
All right, well, let's set the table and introduce ourselves. This is the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show, following the Tuesday, August 20th, 2019 edition of WWE SmackDown. And my guest co-host on today's program, I'm Wade Keller, and my guest co-host on today's program is Rich Fan from the Deep Dive, part of the PW Torch Daily Cast lineup. Just search PW Torch on your podcast app and click on the Daily Cast logo and subscribe. It's free. A new show every day. Going up tonight, VIP members got an early look, and we'll be putting up the free version later tonight. The Elite Major Impact podcast with Mike McMahon and Andrew Socek, with a record mailbag segment and discussing the AEW versus NXT developments. Also some talk about LAX and more, because they talked about Impact. They talk about Impact Wrestling, Major League Wrestling, and a lot of All Elite Wrestling at this point. Of course, we'll get into that a little bit with the announcement on SmackDown, actually a little bit lower key than I anticipated, but we'll table that discussion for a little. If you can count like 36 tweets flashing on the screen of all the big names talking about it, but we'll talk about the announcement and what it tells us as the show progresses. We certainly welcome your phone calls on that hot topic, because they talked about it on SmackDown. It is fair game here on the SmackDown post show. So if you want to talk some NXT versus AEW, jump on the phone lines. Rich, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Wade. It's always a pleasure to be here and always a pleasure to talk with the folks on the phone, so I'm looking forward to it.
So our phone numbers, if you want to join us and talk about SmackDown, including the announcement, our phone number is 347-215-8558. That's 347-215-8558. You can also email us for the mailbag segment later, wadekellerpodcast@pwtorch.com. Wade Keller podcast at pwtorch.com. We will have no on-site correspondent unless somebody is listening to us like on the drive home right now from SmackDown and left early. Sioux Falls did not come through. Shame on them. They're on the list. That said, I think WWE is already ashamed of Sioux Falls, and now I see why, because I don't think there was a reference to it or a graphic on the screen all show. So just understand that if you're in a small market, WWE will take your money and they will entertain you for 2 to 3 to 4 hours, but they will not let the world know that they're in your town, because they are ashamed that they go to all cities across America, big and small. They are only proud that they go to big cities. And I think it's so small of them, and I harp on it for a reason. I think it's telling and kind of shameful, not in a way that hurts anybody, but I think it's just really small of them. And come on, I mean, they could tout this as a positive thing. We do 52 SmackDowns a year, 52 Raws a year. We go all over the country and celebrate it, the big and the small. But they're snobs. That's all. There's no other way to put it. It's not even a good business move. I've heard people try to defend it. Well, you know, who's going to watch a TV show if it's not coming from a major metropolitan market? It makes WWE look small. No, it doesn't. Everybody knows they do a week-to-week show. If they owned it and celebrated it and touted it, it would absolutely work in their favor. Rich, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, I think it's funny. I mean, at this point, they might as well have just called it Southeast Fargo, North Dakota, if they're just going to get this ridiculous with the titles. I'm going to find, and we might talk about this a little later, when it comes to AEW, I think they're going to treat it differently, especially when I look at the lineup of shows, including coming here to Pittsburgh. They're going to the Peterson Event Center, which is on campus at Pitt, which is basically me working from my day job to my current job here at the Torch. And so that's not going to be known as Pittsburgh, just Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. They will show the show. It's a college campus. And so there's something to be said for, in pro wrestling, you're already in a niche hobby that might have millions of people watching, but you don't need to exclude your fan base from themselves. I think that's a lot of an issue. If you say for the heroes and all of us, but we're not going to mention if you're from a part of town that we don't necessarily want to be proud of, that doesn't help any of their ad campaigns either.
No. All right, so moving on. I harped on the whole St. Paul thing enough yesterday. So we'll move on. We've got callers, and we welcome more. So give us a call, 347-215-8558. And again, you have to push 1 on your keypad. if you want to be on the program, that flags you on our switchboard, and it says you're not just in the background listening, waiting to maybe join in, but you're ready to join the conversation. Our email, wadekellerpodcast@pwtorch.com. If you want to find the link, if you're listening to us later on delay on download to the complete show on our podcast feed, but you want to join us live for the streaming of our caller portion of the program right after Raw and SmackDown go off the air, you can find the link to our stream at pwtorch.com at the top and bottom of my Raw report and SmackDown report, again at pwtorch.com, or on our Twitter feed at pwtorch. There should be a link either near the end of SmackDown and Raw or right after it ends, depending on if I remember to do it before the show's end. So you can always find us there. We welcome new callers. We welcome and appreciate our regular callers. So join us, and we'll be doing that in some combination, still to be determined, with AEW and NXT on Wednesday nights. We'll get into that as the show progresses. I'm looking forward to it. Without the on-site correspondent, we'll have a little more time for calls and conversation with Rich about that breaking news story made official earlier this afternoon. By the way, I will say I confirmed with WWE today that found out and confirmed that the NXT 2-hour show will be available on a 24-hour delay on WWE Network. So if you don't have cable or you're going to watch AEW live and don't have a DVR, but you have WWE Network, there will be options, and that includes watching the complete show the next day, the next evening, 24 hours later, on WWE Network. I don't know if I reached out to someone in AEW today, and I haven't heard back about – do you know if AEW is going to be available streaming? Rich, their TV show on TNT?
From what I understood last time I read something, I thought it was going to be on BR Live available for streaming afterwards. But I haven't seen anything that confirmed that as we get closer to the television time. That was like one of the first jargon-filled press releases they dropped. So I haven't heard too much follow-up, so I can't definitively say that.
Well, WWE got back to me right away, AEW didn't. So I'm happy to report you can stream NXT. Can't confirm AEW yet. But the news probably is out there, and I just either forgot or don't know. But as far as AEW, I'd assume that they would have let that be known. But, you know, maybe they're working that out with TNT and trying to figure it out. I mean, now that NXT is going head-to-head with them, there's a possibility that they won't want to have an option to stream it on a timely basis, that, you know, TNT might be like, no, we don't want people to have an alternative. We want them to choose to watch us on Wednesday night because people then can watch the NXT replay the next night on the network. And from a pure rating strategy standpoint, at least at the beginning, they might want to kind of push people to at least, one of the lower priced streaming or Slingbox or DirecTV Now, or, you know, whatever the options are out there now that are pretty reasonable to get TNT and USA Network on a cable package.
Yeah, I agree. I think. Oh, go ahead, Wade.
No, you go ahead.
Oh, I think the biggest thing for them is they better make sure that's easy, because the easier it is, the less likely it is people are going to be turning away. I think it's already going to be interesting to see both WWE and AEW create the tradition, quote unquote, of having wrestling on Wednesdays. So that's just another step they're going to have to be competing with each other on.
Yep. All right, cool. I have a lot to say about that, and we'll have many forums to do it, including later on in the show, but we've got callers on hold. So let's begin our caller portion here with area code 518. Go ahead, 518. State your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, Wade. This is Tom from Clifton Park, New York. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. Thanks for calling, Tom. What's on your mind tonight?
Not too much. Just got done watching SmackDown actually with my wife and my roommates. The finale of the Daniel Bryan segment kind of took me for a loop. I don't know what yours and Rich's thoughts are. How are you doing, Rich, by the way? Wondering what you guys thought about the whole segment, considering it's like a doppelganger kind of thing. I'm just confused by the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it at the top of the show, and I mean, I think it's pretty obvious Brian and Rowan did it, and they went and found a lookalike of Rowan to try to trick Roman Reigns into at least not being sure it was them, because they want to have a chance to kill Roman Reigns before he's onto them and seeks revenge through trying to gain a three count against them inside a wrestling ring.
Yeah, my wife was the same way. Yeah, sorry about that. My wife was saying the same thing. She was like, she couldn't believe what was going on. She's looking at me like, what in the world are they doing?
Yeah. I mean, my concern especially is that Roman looks dim-witted if he's kind of slow to come around to the obvious, which is, you know, Brian and Roman did it, and they found a lookalike to try to throw Roman Roman Reigns off their scent because they think, to use the word of the show, they think Roman is stupid.
Exactly.
Yeah. But that said, I mean, I'm sort of being a little bit sarcastic and a little bit critical through humor of how Roman is being portrayed, but it's, you know, premature. I mean, he didn't have any time. The show was just happened to be ending right when he found out. So we'll see how he reacts to social media and on next week's SmackDown or Raw for that matter. That said, I think it's fun. But the problem is, do you want Roman to be involved in a fun story that's sort of 24/7 like, where it's entertaining but kind of hard to take seriously? And I think that's the one danger zone here is, you know, it's interesting to watch and it's kind of entertaining to see it with, but does it feel minor league?
Right. Now the other thought the other thought I was thinking too, with the whole Charlotte and Bayley match for Clash of Champions, I hate to say it, but in my opinion and my wife's opinion as well, Bayley's reign has been very forgettable as of late, and I'm actually looking forward to seeing Charlotte dethrone her at Clash of Champions, because Charlotte's, I hate to say it, more of a star than half the women on that division, in my opinion.
Yeah, you know, Rich, you don't want the heel to be right. I mean, if you can help it. And Charlotte against Trish absolutely was a bigger deal than Bayley against her handpicked challenger, Ember Moon. So you have Charlotte looking more confident. You have Bliss and Nikki, who fans like, but I wouldn't say there was any kind of official turn. So you have Bliss and Nikki being sort of obnoxious and kind of like mean girls when it comes, you know, in the way that they were targeting Charlotte. And so I sort of got confused just watching it. Like, oh, wait, am I supposed to be cheering Bliss in her attitude and what she's saying to Charlotte? Or should I be thinking it's sort of snotty and out of line? Like, I thought it made Charlotte seem a little sympathetic. And then Charlotte was right. And then at the end, Bayley comes out and, you know, accepts the challenge and then needlessly shoves Charlotte over. Like, I felt that – I don't think that made Bayley look good. It just felt kind of juvenile to me. Rich, what did you think, and what do you have to say to what Tom said?
Yeah, I agree. I had a person on Twitter that I follow mention that it felt like Bayley was a five-year-old in terms of the way she reacted to that situation, shoving Charlotte over and just being petulant, no explanation. I think – And I think to your original statement, I think yeah, Bayley looks like the lesser star. She might be the champion, but it's clear, like you said, the whole match with Trish versus her match with Ember Moon, one of them looked like two stars wrestling, and the other looked like something that just wasn't. Even the style of the match, it was kind of clunky compared to like Trish holding her own after being out of wrestling for almost 10 years, 15 years. And so, yeah, I agree completely with both of you.
Okay, Tom, anything else for us before we move on?
Right, sorry about that, guys. No, it's just the, like Rich was saying, the whole Trish and Charlotte match, in my opinion, that really stole the show at SummerSlam. It was probably one of the best matches on the card. And my wife was very, very critical about the whole Bayley and Moon match. We completely forgot about it like 5 minutes after it happened.
Yeah. No, I mean, Charlotte's a bigger star. I don't think Bayley, you know, I think Sasha Banks is on the right track right now. I think Bayley is still a bit lost as a character. And, you know, I mean, it's I'm glad she's champion on SmackDown, but I don't think that this segment did a lot to erase the concern that I think people who are rooting for Bayley to find her lane and succeed as a character on the main roster. I don't think tonight helped. You know, yeah, she's out there sharing the stage with the championship with Charlotte, and they're, you know, so she's in the main event singles mix, and that's better than where she was a half a year ago. But she still just, I don't think the writers are doing her favors. I don't think her body language and the way she comes across fits her character at all. And Charlotte, you know, again, not only was Charlotte telling the truth about the Trish match overshadowing Bayley and Ember, she's right about WWE sending Charlotte everywhere. Charlotte's all over the hype for SmackDown going to Fox. Charlotte's the one doing the media appearances and, you know, looking the part of the big central star. She was the WrestleMania main eventer. So, you know, Charlotte was right. And I don't think they wrote Bayley's part in that exchange to acknowledge the truth and kind of put Bayley in a position of being an underdog who has had to fight and scrap to get management's attention and respect. And the way to do that is to beat somebody like Charlotte. And so I think some pieces were there in that some, there were some missing pieces to what I think a sympathetic Bayley character who you would want to root for would naturally have said under those circumstances.
Right.
Yeah. And she looks like,
oh, go ahead. Yes. Sorry.
Thanks, Tom. Yo, thanks. Tom. Appreciate it. Yep. Go ahead, Rick.
I was going to say, she looks like a coward. And the more they do these, especially even with the last one, you can't, when John Cena a couple of years ago at SummerSlam had Daniel Bryan, there was still a little bit of that charity, but it was also someone you felt legitimately needed a title shot and hadn't fairly gotten one yet. With
right,
Bayley
so,
and Ember
yeah.
Moon. Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Finish your thought. I thought you were.
Yeah. With Bayley and Ember Moon, it felt like, you know, for lack of a make-a-wish thing, where it was someone who was clearly not qualified, and the only way they got it was through the magnanimous donation of a mysterious donor. And that should not be any WWE main roster wrestler. That should not be anyone getting that sort of charity. There shouldn't be that shouldn't exist.
If a heel is trying to avoid a serious threatening challenger by gifting a title shot to somebody who has no chance against them, okay, then there's heat on the heel, and hopefully you give the underdog, you know, some moments in the sun to shine a little bit, even as the underdog. But Ember Moon is not that, and it's an indictment of how they've built up Ember Moon, that match was as flat as it was, instead of a big moment for Ember Moon fans that match was happening. Okay, we'll move on to 516 next, and then 336 on deck. Got a couple 516s, but if you heard a beep, that's you. Go ahead, state your name and where you're calling from.
That is me. It's Scott from Long Island. What's up, guys?
Not too much. Thanks for calling, Scott.
I like Hadorn and Fan, first of all, as a tag team. And Rich, by the way, by the end of this call, I need a tag team name, but they need a proper push. Wait.
I'm thinking it's going to be in the back of my head, so you keep going.
That's why I was going to give you to the end of the call. I wasn't going to give you 10 seconds. That's not fair. No, the end I'll give you guys, like, you could talk about that or something else just because it was so weird. But everyone was dumb tonight. Orton, too, fell for the, oh, man, like, music's playing. So I have to look at, oh, no one's coming out, but I'm sure no one's going to be behind me to do what I did to that guy last night. Like, it's just, like, I don't know. It's usually the babyface syndrome, like, but it's everyone, really.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a little too much. I mean, it is a little too much. I mean, they just kind of coast and get in cruise control in terms of how they do things. And I think there should be a bit of an ink board that gets brought city to city where they go, all right, you know, here's, you know, create like six quadrants. You can't do that. Four quadrants, six, whatever that would be. for like the six most common finishes to matches. And once you do one, there should be like a 21 day countdown clock, and you don't get to use it again for at least 3 weeks. And when you're doing it two or three times on a show, or two or three times over 48 hours, it's too much. And I'd like to see them watching some old videos, go watch some Eddie Graham in Florida, you know, whatever, just like look for other finishes, cause they are out there. And you know, even Andrade winning tonight, does he really need to beat Apollo Crews because of interference? I mean, can Andrade just be better than Apollo Crews? I mean, at least on this night, can't that be okay? Do you have to have every heel win when there's interference from the outside? Like, if Andrade's going to be a King of the Ring winner, or you just have high hopes for him and he's feuding with Rey, I think it's okay for him to be able to beat beat Apollo Crews. So, again, they just fall back on the same finishes too often.
Yep. And I think the word you're looking for is Sexton.
Okay, good. Thank you. Yep.
Mm-hmm. I think if you find those things, and I think with XFL and with reports that have kind of floated around as far as Vince being super involved with XFL, the less he can rewrite things, the more likely it is the bulletin board of finishes that you're mentioning can exist, because once they rip everything up, you know, like 90 minutes before SmackDown or Raw, that probably is the last thing on their minds, is people are furiously retyping and scribbling pages upon pages of segment notes.
Yep, very good. Scott, what else have you got for us?
I think I got to hit Zayn and Nakamura. I think I'm in the minority who actually really, really likes this, for both guys who are underutilized criminally. And Zayn, when he turned heel, it's like, wow, he can actually talk. And not only that, but at one point when he was doing all those heel promos when he came back, it's like he might be one of the best heel promos in the business right now, like in the WWE at least. So it's like, you know, I like that, and I like that. I like their history with the match that put him out of NXT and Shinsuke's debut. I just they mentioned that twice, which I like. Going, you know, NXT is the third brand now, so you can mention it in storylines. It's a big guy, like part of this guy's both guys and so many guys' history. So, you know, mention it more because it's going to be on Wednesday nights now. So, what do you guys think about that? Those two guys.
I'm for it. I like it. I want to see both Sammy and Shinsuke salvaged and utilized better. And obviously, one of the things holding Shinsuke back, besides him kind of dialing it down at this stage of his career and trying to cash in and not get hurt and not overextend himself and maybe be a little bit lazy, is the Japanese language and not really being able to emote or speak to the degree that Vince McMahon expects top pushed stars on his weekly shows to be able to do. So Sammy is really good at talking, but he's doing a lot of jobs and he's not getting pushed as a serious wrestler. So I'm open to see how this goes. I thought, you know, Sammy lifting up Miz's head and then kind of winking to Nakamura and Nakamura doing it, I think there's actually real potential here for there to be a synergy and a dynamic between these two that's really fun to watch. It gives Sammy, I mean, Sammy's a good wrestler, probably better than Shinsuke at this point in terms of his match output, but Shinsuke still can be really good. And if this leads to people caring about Shinsuke and heel heat and let Sammy do talking for him, I think if this lasts for a while, it can work. I'm a fan of managers, and I know Vince doesn't like to do the conventional manager approach. But if he's going to put Sammy in a player coach type mode, and that leads to some tag matches or just Sammy being ringside and helping Nakamura be more relevant, that works for me. So I'm guardedly optimistic and willing to give this a chance for sure. How about you, Rich?
I'm in the same boat, specifically because of the similar to Sasha Banks, timely disappearance of Rusev and Lana. And so because of that, you have a situation where that was the previous method by which Nakamura could kind of have that adjacent way of sliding in with his language issues and the aforementioned issues you had. Now, I think this is a perfect pairing. I love their opening match back in NXT when Nakamura debuted, and now you move a couple of years later and these guys are kind of keeping themselves afloat, so to speak, with each other, because I think they will play off each other quite well. And I'm looking forward to it. I'm hoping there can be more, and to your point about managers, again, as they move NXT to the main roster in terms of television coverage, I am looking forward to Malcolm Bivens, the former Stokely Hathaway, having an opportunity, because I think he could do a similar vein for guys like Nakamura, who might not necessarily master English, but need someone who can help them outside of the ring with that piece.
Very good. Scott, any final topic from you?
Yeah, just I'll close it with Buddy Murphy's awesome. And when they came to Long Island a month ago, the next caller, or whenever you bring the other, you know, probably JJ, my man, but it's Long Island got, like, we got one of the lighthouse all the way out at the island, and then the rest was like shots of Manhattan. So I get you, Wade, with the St. Paul thing. I'm just saying, like, I got that. That connected with me.
Yep. Excellent. Thanks, Scott. Good to hear from you.
All right. Later, guys.
Good to hear from Long Island. All right.
Yes. Oh, and Scott, the answer is the Midwest Express. Even though I'm from Brooklyn, I've lived in Pittsburgh long enough, and since Zach's from Chicago, I think that would be our tag name.
I like it. All right. Winner. Nice.
Very good. All right. We'll move on to 336, and then the other 516 is on deck after that. Go ahead, 336. State your name and where you're calling from.
This is Chris from North Carolina.
Hey, Chris. Good to hear from you. Where in North Carolina? Let's give a shout out to your city.
Oh, I'm from Winston-Salem.
Okay, cool. So, what's in the SmackDown?
A couple things. First thing is, the Buddy Daniel match it was fantastic. It was like probably one of the few matches where I was genuinely shocked that they let Buddy go over.
I was surprised by the finish. I wouldn't say I was shocked, but I was surprised. And I think it's a good move. I think that where Brian is right now, he can absorb losses if he's losing to someone who has an upside. And I think if Buddy lost here, it would have defined him down. I won't say irreparably, but I think it would have been a pretty big slide down the hill to being taken seriously, and he'd have to crawl back up. Not that there's shame in losing to Brian, but it's just the context of him not scoring a big win against somebody, I think would event, you know, that stacks up and works against him. So this was kind of a, you know, a lot of wrestling is, okay, in a kayfabe land, what does it mean? It means he's good because he beat Brian. But in a meta way, what does it mean? It means management has some confidence in Buddy Murphy that they're willing to book him to beat Brian, and that'll cause fans to be willing to, who look at wrestling through that lens, people who listen to shows like this, take get more invested in Buddy as someone they can that they think has a chance to rise because he was booked in that way. So on a number of levels, a very, very good match. I like that Tom Phillips touted it as the first ever between them and made that into a big deal. But it was another chance for Buddy Murphy to show, you know, as Rich said, he's been the best kept secret in the WWE ecosystem for a while.
Second thing with the Charlotte Bailey thing, I kind of figured after Charlotte's trip to SummerSlam, that's kind of like where they were headed, is that with the Bailey Charlotte, which, I mean, I don't have a problem with it, but I was kind of wondering, like, if Bailey were to beat Charlotte, would they continue that or, like, move on to somebody else with Bailey?
Yeah, Rich, where do you think this is headed with Bailey and Charlotte? I could see them doing this for several months and, you know, extending it as they are with Randy and Kofi beyond the first match for sure.
Yeah, especially with it being Clash of Champions going in early September or mid-September, I can't recall. That's a perfect feud going into the new television show where Charlotte can kind of get a coronation and you have that Fox audience get to know Charlotte Flair, women's champion. I think this is going to carry for a few months. And again, similar to what you're saying with Buddy Murphy, I think putting this situation with Charlotte, they could have given Charlotte another nothing feud or bring in someone in for another high profile match. But I think the way they're positioning her, they really want to make sure when they have the Fox eyes, their best assets are on the screen. And that's her is like top role. And to Bailey, she should take this as a 2-month tryout to figure out if she could stay where she is.
Yeah. Yep. Well put. Okay, Chris, any final words from you?
One more thing. With NXT, you know, going to USA, I heard about it today, actually, and I was kind of – I mean, I've been following NXT, and I'm excited to know that it is going live, but I was wondering, like, what y'all think. Like, if the stars that are NXT now, once it goes to USA, like, where they stay in NXT or, like – like, how would that work out, like, with a call-up situation?
Boy, that's a million-dollar question, Rich, is how does this affect NXT's role as a developmental territory? You know, there is now a high stakes in keeping NXT's roster strong. And does this mean Velveteen Dream doesn't get called up as soon as he would have? Does it, or does he get exposure on USA Network and Vince McMahon sees him or other more people see him and Vince is like, oh, we need him on SmackDown on Fox. And NXT is still developmental. And, you know, it's Wednesday night on USA. It's the third out of three shows in terms of importance in Vince McMahon's eyes and in that of the networks in terms of the rights fees that they're getting and all of that. I mean, there's no question that NXT, because keeping the NXT roster strong is more important today than it was 2 days ago. So call-ups will have there's a bigger negative to than there used to be to calling someone up from NXT. Triple H has been trying to get everybody to use a different wording and say it's not really being called up. He'd say this in conference calls and it's not about being called up. It's about being called over. He didn't want it to seem like going from AA or AAA to the majors. He wanted it to seem like a trade from, you know, the Celtics to the Lakers or whatever. And so now, I mean, with this platform, that is the case. So we don't know yet. I mean, in their press release, the featured names in order was Adam Cole, Velveteen Dream, Shayna Baszler, Johnny Gargano, Matt Riddle. Those were the top five listed. And I don't know what I don't even know if that means anything other than it's indicative that somebody didn't go, you can't have the names in that order. That sends the wrong message. Somebody thought enough people thought that was the right message in terms of their depth chart. They can't afford to lose very many of them and still have a 2 hours worth of talent to be on cable's number one or number two network.
Yeah, when you look at you mentioned the press release, when you look at the photo, it's even more pronounced. Velveteen Dream's the first image. You have Velveteen Dream, Shayna Baszler, Adam Cole, and then Matt Riddle. Those are the only four people on the visual part of that press release. So they know who their favorites are. And I remember when I first did an appearance on the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling podcast, Jason Australia mentioned, and we discussed the idea of how the third hour of Raw basically supplemented NXT. Well, now we fast forward. NXT's making enough money where they're going to be profitable on their own. My question, kind of dovetail with the call outs or call overs, is also the pay structure and how, what are they going to do? Are they going to still be paid at the NXT scale, even though you're making $50 million a year from them being on the USA network? And does that make an incentive for you to move? If you're saying that you're no longer in the quote unquote small leagues and you still don't change the pay structure, I think that could be grounds for folks being very upset despite being on a bigger scale in terms of coverage on television.
No, I think one of the undercurrents, and you bring it up, of this story is this WWE kind of sneaking into a TV rights category pay scale that's much less than the house show pay-per-view bonus downside guarantee-based main roster pay scale that sort of got grandfathered and inherited and tweaked over the decades. I mean, dating back to the 1980s and even earlier, how do NXT wrestlers change? And, you know, we'll be monitoring it, and I'll hear from wrestlers if they think that what's going on is grossly unfair. There are some people who are just going to be thankful to earn, you know, $150,000 a year, and it's, man, it's great money, and I don't have to worry about booking my own indie dates, and the schedule is light, and I'm having fun, and I feel I'm part of something. There's going to be someone else who's earning $150,000 and thinks they deserve $700,000, and they might be right. And do they, if NXT pushes it and doesn't start handing out big raises to people who are in NXT and featured every week on TV, if they don't do right by them, that can lead to issues. Now, you know, I've talked to wrestlers who said WWE eventually, they eventually found out, and this was 5 years ago when people like CM Punk were saying, what happens to pay-per-view bonuses now that we're on the network? Bonuses started coming in that resembled pay-per-view bonuses when you were on WWE Network Sunday specials, the pay-per-views. So WWE kind of does it. They do it their way. They have the leverage to not necessarily go all the way with it as far as they should, but they haven't, there wasn't an uprising. But now that AEW exists and New Japan is a viable option for a small number of US-based wrestlers, there's additional competition out there to kind of keep WWE in check. So, you know, I hope they do the right thing without it turning into an issue first.
Yeah, and I'm looking right now at USA Networks. One of their main reasons for kind of having the impetus, besides keeping their ratings ranking, with the impending trial of Chrisley and all the Chrisley properties they have Tuesdays and Wednesdays, it kind of made sense for them to make this deal.
Yeah, good point. If we look at the ratings on Wednesday night last week on cable television, and keep in perspective, Raw did a 0.9 rating in the 18 to 49 demographic this on Monday, and it tied with ESPN's NFL preseason game. Actually, statistically, the NFL ended up edging it out, but they both had a 0.9, but whatever statistics are used to put one over the other, and the NFL won. And NFL actually had a few hundred thousand more viewers total, which meant they had some more older viewers than Raw did. That said, Wednesday night, last week, the number one shows were on VH1, Black Ink Crew and Basketball Wives, with a 0.6 and 0.5 rating respectively, with 1.1 million and 1.2 million viewers, barely topping the new Steve Austin show, Straight Up with Steve Austin, which did just over 1 million viewers this week and was number 10 in the key demo rankings. So on Wednesday night, the top show is doing one-third fewer 18 to 49-year-old viewers as Raw in the NFL preseason game. Or USA Network, when I look at the top 20 ratings, Suits comes in, I don't know, the 20, I think it's the top 25 list I'm looking at. So it comes in at about 21 with a 0.2 rating and under 1 million viewers. I think NXT beats that out of the gate. I think NXT does better than 955,000 viewers on Wednesday night with hype from Raw. Now, that said, going back to the last time that NXT had a USA Network special, They did, let's see, total, I don't have, oh, two plus, yeah, they did about 841,000. So I think with the weekly live series, they should top that 841,000 and therefore beat what USA Network is doing. So those are just kind of, a lot of numbers to throw at you, but that's why this is happening. USA just doesn't have strong programming on Wednesday nights, and they can put that Suits rerun on after NXT airs and still get an hour of good rerun time in for, you know, almost $0.
And I'll be remiss if I didn't mention to you that actually isn't a rerun. It's the ending season of Suits because they tried to tie it into Pearson, which is a spinoff of one of the characters. So it's their final season, the ninth season, nine seasons of Suits. That's wild. And yeah,
I thought it ended just a while ago, so I didn't know that. Yeah, I didn't know that was the final.
Yeah, so that was that's like just ending, and then Pearson's taken over, and they're at in the 1849 demo point 11. So their numbers are not, you know, Steiner map. The numbers aren't at enough in a good way for them, and I can see why. Again, NXT, even with those numbers you're talking about, would be delightful adds to them. And as they get closer and closer, I think it was like 242,000. They were ahead of TNT or 241 at TBS. Yeah. And so anyone they can get in the boat, so to speak, to keep them number one.
Well, and USA Network stating that they are the number one cable entertainment network. That is what they live for. Like, they want to be able to say that. You know, it's their Super Bowl ring. It's their, we made the playoffs this year. They want to be the number one entertainment network. And so NXT is one of them. And Vince McMahon says in the statement on WWE.com, over the long term, our goal is to develop a following that can be monetized to the same level as our flagship programs were on SmackDown. I doubt he used those. I don't know. Maybe he probably approved those words, but I'm sure those are his thoughts. And so it's a chance. Again, I don't know how Fox feels about WWE watering their audience down a little bit with three nights, but it's going to be a very interesting story to follow. I mean, it's a fascinating twist in the story that I don't think, you know, 2 months ago we necessarily saw coming when AEW was on the horizon. Anyway, Chris, back to you. You're still with us. Anything you want to add or do you want to change topics?
One more thing. I do enjoy the Shinsuke, the Sami Zayn situation. I do think it's kind of cool. Well, not cool. I just enjoy that how Shinsuke can do like his own thing, like with his wrestling in terms of his body, but still it would be relevant in the aspect that Sami could do like the talk and like manager role for, and then they both could be like on TV.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I'm curious. Scott indicated he thought that he was in the minority in liking this. I don't know what sample size he's working from, but I'm sure there's some people who aren't into it. But so far, I think it seems like a lot of people would be positive on it. I don't see a huge downside at this point, unless you're just sort of bitter over Nakamura and Sami in a very specific way, not being used in another very specific way. But compared to where they've been, I mean, I think this can work. I think it could be a lot of fun. Chris, we appreciate your call.
Thank you.
Yep, you bet. All right, so we'll go to 516, the other 516 next, and then 347 on deck after that. 516, please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, Wade, how's it going? It's JJ from Long Island. How are you?
Why did I even ask? Yes, I knew that. Go ahead, JJ.
Scott called it too, actually. Pretty funny. But a couple of things. You know, the King of the Ring, which I love and stuff, and it's so funny how they see the announcers talk about him saying the most prestigious tournament we have, which they forgot to apparently have for the last 4 years. And now they're doing matches, and, you know, I do love the matches. Anything with stakes is really good to have. But, like, at the same time, though, I just kind of feel that, you know, it was just kind of thrown together at the last minute. You know, I really feel like they just watched the G1, basically, and then that Monday morning decided, oh, you know, I'm going to throw away on this tournament. It's kind of, you know, it's been kind of thrown together. And I feel like, you know, kind of they could have, you know, even done an own pay-per-view on it or something along those lines instead of having these generic pay-per-views constantly. And, you know, I just feel like it kind of wasn't, you know, thought really through all the way. And even if there's no qualifying matches, like they used to have qualifying matches and things like that, we don't have anything like that. What do you guys think?
I'm fine with it. I mean, I don't think it came across as super well thought out, but when I look at the lineup, it seems kind of like a mini kind of part breakout tournament, part prove yourself tournament with an intriguing mix of established top guys such as Kevin Owens and Drew McIntyre and Samoa Joe, but guys who aren't necessarily even among those three. world title holders who are on hot streaks at the level of Seth Rollins or Kofi Kingston. And then you have Chad Gable types or Apollo Crews where, you know, you get a chance to prove yourself. I like the mix, and I think it's fine, even if it was sort of just thrown together, that it gives a sense of purpose to some matches that otherwise wouldn't have it. And I think there's some genuine intrigue over who's going to win, because there is a history of King of the Ring being an indication of who is next in line for a more serious push. And it can also help define a character that doesn't quite have direction or just needs something new added to the mix. And you know, Kevin Owens was talked about as a potential winner, and that seems to be off the table now, which frees up, you know, Drew and Andrade to be two of the leading contenders without Kevin Owens in the discussion, unless somebody intervenes and overturns, you know, how that match played out with Shane in the fast count. Rich, your thoughts?
I think I agree. I think it is a little bit thrown together, but I think the end result, especially my biggest worry was when they announced the participants, that the brackets were going to be the way they were haphazardly thrown together on the screen that first time we saw them. When they created them and we see them now, I actually like the way it's set up. It's, well, while some people you can kind of have what you think are kind of shoe-ins, on the other hand, I like it over the course of the weeks, because I wouldn't want it to be over the course of a pay-per-view, because my fear was and still is, in a pay-per-view, they would yada yada some of the storylines that they're playing out a little bit over the course of the week. Case in point, Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin. I want to see where this is going. Why, you know, the height jokes. It's kind of like what we saw this week. I don't know if you followed on Twitter. I just finished in the background 205 Live. The entire episode was the 10-man tag, which the impetus between Oney Lorcan and I want to say it was Drew Gulak, they picked people and they picked them via Twitter. And Oney Lorcan in his character wrote in all caps as he chose each person. He's like, I like this guy because he punched me in the face once, and I like guys who punch me in the face. And I think it's like he stayed in character the whole time, to the point where Bayley even got a bit of a rub because she wanted to join the team. And he's like, I'm sorry, you're on SmackDown and you already get all the time. Leave me alone. I got to go by. And so that's fun. Same thing with King of the Ring. I like it extended over these weeks, but I would say that if it's not a person that we see, like if it's King Corbin, I'm with Renee. I'm going to Canada.
I would not rule it out. I would not rule it out. I can totally see it happening. I'm not as down on it as most people, but I'm, yeah. I'd rather it go to someone else, but. But you know, there is a dark side to me a little bit here that is a little leaning towards wanting Corbin to win, just because I know how many people are going to freak out about it, and I kind of want to see that, but that is really mean. So I mark for edit. I don't want to admit that. But I think there's going to be a lot of rational and irrational reactions and overreactions to Corbin winning this tournament if it happens, because he is such a heat magnet, and it is genuine. Genuine heat that is somewhere in that danger zone of being counterproductive as opposed to productive. But I think it's a mix. All right. Anything else?
Can you hear me? Yeah. Hello?
Yep.
Cool. Just about NXT, how long do you think they're going to be in Full Sail? Because I just see Vince McMahon seeing, you know, Full Sail crowds against other, AEW, and then, you know, 300 people in Full Sail with, black cloth in the background, just being like, you know, that's it, get out there, you know, and, you'd be doing arenas. What do you guys think? Do you think that's going to stay in Full Sail, or it's going to move out?
Yeah, I was talking to someone in NXT earlier today about it and asking, and as of this point, everybody's belief is they're there indefinitely, but that doesn't mean on week six they won't begin touring. A lot depends on a lot. That is unknown at this point. What is their audience level? What is based on the audience level, what is their budget? If they come out of the gate with big numbers, they're going to be allotted more budget for advertising and doing a show on the road. You know, WWE likes being able to run pay-per-views on SmackDown on three straight nights because it takes a lot. It's a lot of money to move the set and advertise and move everything to a separate building. So if NXT draws the ratings, there's going to probably be a thought, hey, we can actually make money taking this live to our show on the road. And they probably will, in a perhaps predatory/competitive way, look to book some of the same buildings AEW books. And try to draw those crowds of four to 9,000, with, you know, in some of the smaller buildings, or 5,000 to 10,000, with some tarping off, and you know, move around. I'm really impressed and a big fan of the Full Sail setup. I just think the trickery that they went through to make it look like they're in an arena where you just sort of stop thinking about it. It's clean, it's crisp, it's focused, and the camera angles are strategic. And I think it looks really good. I think if you have good wrestlers telling good stories and people are invested in the characters, and the booking team with Triple H and Shawn Michaels and Road Dogg and Joe and the whole crew there, if they do their thing well, then I don't think having a few hundred people that on TV is sort of tricks people into thinking it's thousands, which I think if you're half paying attention, mm-hmm. you don't think that hard about it, then it won't matter. You know, I mean, I think you can be in the same place every week. Maybe not. I could be wrong on that, and it might turn out to be a negative. I think those Full Sail fans are going to be super enthusiastic, but I don't know how many going, you know, from about once a month to tapings to 2 hours every Wednesday, how many of them will stick around, or how much greater the demand will be once they're on USA Network. A lot of questions to be answered, but as of now, there's no movement to book dates for the show outside of Full Sail. So this is very much they're figuring it out as they go, and they need some you know, haptic feedback to determine what the budget is and, frankly, what their popularity is once they are now moved to this new level. Rich, your thoughts?
I think if for them, they have to be careful with it. Like, for instance, here in Pittsburgh, AEW is going to be at the Pete. That's a 12,000, 13,000 seat of arena. I believe they have it shortened to like 8,900. For if, let's say, Full Sail came through, typically, I'm sorry, not Full Sail, NXT. If NXT came through, typically when they would come to Pittsburgh, they go to Stage AE, which is a smaller venue, like 1,200 to 3,000 at most. So then you get into the thing of, if you still play those same areas, now you're gonna, you know, it becomes that contest thing of, oh, well, we had more people here, and do you get it full and you have that action excitement, or do you stay home? And hopefully, the one thing I have heard complaints about, and I don't know if you both want to comment on this, is the last few months there have been numerous complaints by fans who have gone into the seat, what they call like the C loop for NXT, of questionable comments to the wrestlers, of a sexual and racial nature, and almost an impact zone feeling when you went to Full Sail tapings, because there would be the same super fans that would be at every taping that would want to get themselves on TV. So you definitely have to be very vigilant to make sure that doesn't happen on live television on USA Network.
Yeah. Well, obviously the stakes are higher, and there would be, you know, if they did that and it made TV, they'd be banned from the building. It would be very easy to keep them out of that building, you know, with the size of it and the entrance and the number of people. So, you know, you'd hope that wouldn't be an issue. That can be an issue anywhere they go. I don't think that would be enough to cause them to, like, you know, say, well, we can't run here anymore because there's, you know, three fans who are going to say something, you know, out of line on TV. I think they'd find a way to deal with that and send a message.
Yeah.
JJ, any final thoughts? Maybe?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, go backing off of your thing about the fans and stuff, you know, I mean, I hope that they do get out, because, I mean, you know, you have a problem. You used to have an impact where you have like the same like 10 sunburnt Floridian fans that you see at every show doing the same chants, and it almost becomes like, you know, they're part of the, you know, staff, basically. And it doesn't really seem like it's a, you know, an organic crowd. It seems almost rehearsed chants. And, like, you know, at the end of the Impact tape, it's not a chant like that. So I really hope to get out. And I think that Vince McMahon's going to see, you know, them at these smaller arenas compared to AEW. And eventually it's going to be, you know, the same kind of thing, like you said, just getting out there and possibly even getting to those, booking those arenas before AEW does, you know, like those real, you know, vicious Vince McMahon moves and things like that. So, you know, I get, but it's going to be fun to find out, at least, you know. I'm actually really happy we're going to have this competition for the first time in, you know, 20 years. And, you know, that's something I could, like, you know, finally, like, tell people about, that you haven't experienced a war, how cool this is actually going to be. And, you know, thankfully for that, that's one thing I really look forward to the next couple of months. Anyway, have a great night.
Thanks, JJ. I appreciate it. I think there's a lot of fans who have gone back and heard so much about the Monday Night War. And it's like hearing about Woodstock. It's like, okay, enough already. I'm sure it was great to live through it. Now there's a whole generation of people who were too young or weren't born yet, and they get to be part of that on a significant scale. It is the top two cable networks, the top two entertainment, non-sports cable networks, and non-news networks. they're battling it out on Wednesday night with goals of million-plus viewership for both shows that I think is attainable. I think it's possible for both shows to do more than a million viewers. Some of them will be counted twice just based on how ratings work. You have to watch a certain number of minutes to be counted as a viewer in that segment. Some of that will happen. Also, if you're a same-night DVR viewer, you are counted in the viewership numbers that we report. So somebody who watches AEW and then DVRs NXT or vice versa will be counted on both shows as a live/same-night DVR viewer. So that will inflate the numbers, but in a way that's not disingenuous or not undeserved. I mean, if one person watches both shows, they should be counted as viewing both shows. So this is a full-fledged Raw Nitro type situation. I don't think viewership's not going to reach 6 million for either show. So it's smaller in scale, but at the same time, relative to where television and cable and pro wrestling is, it's going to be a blast. I asked on Twitter how people feel about this. I was curious if everybody was enthusiastic about this. I said, how do you feel about WWE moving NXT to Wednesday nights on USA Network, going head-to-head with AEW on TNT? The four options listed were excited, a little stressed out, I voted for that, mad at WWE/NXT, and don't care, skipping both. And 49% are excited. Maybe you'd expect that number to be higher, but 49% excited. 15%, a little stressed out. You know, just like how it's like when your favorite NHL and favorite NBA team are playing really big games on the same night. It's like, I got to flip back and forth. I'm going to miss a goal. I'm not going to be able to really get immersed in the game. You're a little stressed out. So some of that's going on. 25% are mad. They see WWE and NXT as the bad guys for trying to take down AEW. And then 11% voted just to say they don't care and they're skipping both. So good for you guys for taking the time to click that button, even though you don't care. And then the other poll I said is it good for AEW or bad for AEW that NXT is going to be on USA? Rich, what do you think? Well, first of all, how did you vote in the first one? And then how do you vote in that second one if it's good or bad for AEW that this is happening?
First one, I'm going to be with you with stressed because Wednesday is already the East Coast cast.
Oh,
and
God.
So if I got to corral Travis's attention for two shows, we've already been having – you'd be surprised. It doesn't sound like it sometimes, but we do have production meetings. And talking to Travis, we've been arguing, myself, Cam, and Travis, over the last few weeks how we best cover AEW. And his thought was we figure out whatever of the two shows we want to watch live and the other one we kind of just don't mention because we don't want to put ourselves in a situation where you're talking out of your rear end. And I was like, okay, that's fair, but we haven't committed to which one is going to be the official live watch in that final hour of the East Coast cast.
I bet Travis gets the tie-breaking deciding vote on which show that you live watch.
Well, I mean, he's going to be the one talking about it as I fight sleep. So
exactly. It's
going to be it's going to be whatever he wants.
Yep. Okay, so good for AEW or bad for AEW or neutral?
I think it's good for AEW because, again, going back to what I said, Wednesday nights haven't traditionally been a wrestling night. Now, for myself and Sean, when we were watching Beyond Wrestling, who actually I want to get – they had a delightful tweet that was very introspective and kind of – people took it as poo-pooing, but I saw where they were coming from. Beyond had their Uncharted Territory, which was the first time an independent wrestling company had an episodic 15-episode, quote-unquote, season on Wednesday nights from 8 to 10. And that was great to the point where I stopped watching NXT Live and I caught it on Thursday replays. But I think it's good because you're teaching on a television side of things. Wednesday can be a wrestling night, and if fans can get used to that, you're creating a situation where if your product's good, in WWE still does what they do, folks are going to turn to AEW just because they know it's on as well. You've naturally created a situation where you can choose an alternative. So I think that can only help them.
Do you think I'll quote reveal the results of the poll in a second. Do you think WWE made a big enough deal out of this announcement? I said I would bring that up. Like, just coming out of a break and having Tom Phillips go, oh, big news today. We coming up in 1 month, 4 weeks from tomorrow night, NXT on USA, and they show some tweets and all that. Like, I kind of, like, for an announcement like this, this is a big deal. Adding a live weekly two-hour wrestling show to the number one entertainment cable network, sandwiched in between Raw and SmackDown of their new schedule, with Triple H at the helm, you know, behind the scenes, to me, that, like, called for a really well-produced video. It called for maybe a special appearance in the ring from Triple H. Now, granted, we've got a few weeks to do that, and I'm assuming that Triple H will be present at some point the week of September 18th on Raw or SmackDown or both to really encourage it, and they'll really turn up the volume on hype. But the way it was framed tonight, it kind of came across as like, you know, we were number one with our social media compared to other shows on, you know, compared to the Emmys. Like, it just like one of those things. It didn't feel like WWE treated it as big of a deal as I expected and think they should have.
To be quite honest, I looked at it as they put more energy into an Emmy that there was no earthly chance they ever were going to win than they did this groundbreaking opportunity for their quote-unquote developmental company. In fact, I thought to the point where you have seen so many WWE 24s. We have seen so many of these documentaries they've created where they've given these wrestlers an opportunity to show, hey, you're moving to Raw and this is how you react. Or when they first talked about NXT being a regular show and they could be drafted and Triple H went down the Full Sail and they had this chat with the Come to Jesus meeting with everyone. I thought they would have footage of Triple H announcing to everyone in Full Sail, like sitting down in those chairs like they did last time.
Uh-huh.
Hey, we're going to be on the USA Network. And are you ready to prove to the world that we are NXT? And having everyone rally the troops and do his raspy voice and throw water and have it show someone's crying in the corner. And then, you know, show some of the wrestlers in a confessional talking about how this is going to motivate them to take things to the next level trademark. And instead, it feels like when I was younger and I was dealing with things with my younger brothers and I wanted to be ahead of them on something, but I never wanted to own it too much in case they got better at it than I did. And that's where I feel like there's like, yeah, we're going to have wrestling on Wednesday too. Wait, why'd you say two? Someone else says that I'm just going to have wrestling on Wednesday.
Yes. I by the way, if Triple H was a big part of this, it would be confusing because isn't Triple H the star of the new SmackDown on Fox?
I mean, obviously his frequent flyer miles, as he mentioned in the post NXT scrum, you know, he's so busy, he flies everywhere. He does everything. He's mastered time travel. I think he would figure out a way to be the star on the award-winning Fox SmackDown, as well as the granddad slash uncle on NXT on USA. I figure on Thursday, we might see him on the Holden Garden Network. Somehow he'll make the transition.
Very good. Because Triple H is featured, for those not following us closely here, he is the initial star appearing in the SmackDown on Fox commercial that's airing during NFL games. Because, you know, when I think of SmackDown Live in 2019, I think Triple H spitting water. But then they did get around to Roman Reigns and Kofi and Charlotte and Becky. So anyway, all right. Thanks, JD Average.
Oh, no, I was just laughing because I'm just imagining now him in the booth during a Fox NFL Sunday talking about leveraging viewers and watching, you know, Jimmy Johnson or whomever is in the, you know, the studio, just their eyes glazing over as he's using that speak.
Yes, yes. All right, let's jump to our next call here. We got 347 and then on deck 111, which means Skype or international. So hold tight. 347, though, you're up. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Nick from Queens, New York.
Thanks, Nick. What's on your mind tonight about SmackDown?
Things I was going to talk about, you guys have already kind of gone through, so I'll make a couple points. And you guys can comment if you want again. So real quick, really love what they're doing with Buddy. You know, last week, the great match with Roman Reigns. And this week, another great match with Daniel Bryan and winning was, you know, great. The only thing I don't like is that they've made him look like such a – the two promos last week and the promo this week still making him seem like a – you know, not much of a tough guy and kind of cowering to everybody. But I love that he got a win this week over Daniel Bryan. That was great. The Alexa Bliss and Charlotte segment, I love that Alexa still had her little sassiness and still, you know, took little digs at Charlotte, especially because, you know, she introduced Charlotte as being this a 9-time women's champion, and the only other person, the only one, the woman you think of when you hear that is Alexa, she's probably at like 6 or 7. So I love that she took some digs at Charlotte. really didn't like Bayley. You know, she kind of pushed Charlotte over and, like, laughed about it, whereas maybe if she pushed her over and acted, you know, my time to shine, that would have been better. And my next point would be about NXT, so if there's anything you've got to say about that stuff.
Yeah. Rich, what do you think?
I think the point you made as far as your time to shine, I think if that had been done by Bayley, it would have looked so much better instead of it just seeing silly. I mean, to me, I see Bayley doing these things to Charlotte, and it always goes back to, why couldn't you be this aggressive when Alexa basically put a torpedo to your career and respectability in that barbed wire match? Or, I'm sorry, in the Singapore cane match.
Go ahead, Nick, with your NXT question or point.
The person who ended, I mean, excuse me, wasn't Bayley the person who ended Charlotte's undefeated streak? She was. She had beaten her for the Raw Women's title. That's pretty interesting. Well, NXT,
yeah,
ending,
I think it was the...
it was, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
See, any AEW situation? You know, I was completely, like everybody else, excited for AEW. And, you know, when NXT announced that they were going to go head-to-head, I kind of realized that I was a little disappointed with AEW, and, you know, I love the top of the card, just like everybody else says. You know, their last 3-4 matches on the card are great, but the undercard is not so great, and it just kind of made me think that I think I like NXT better. Like, I think NXT makes me the most happy as far as wrestling-wise, and Wednesday is definitely going to be the best night for wrestling, for me at least. And, you know, I went through the Monday Night Wars from 10 to 16 or somewhere around there, and I flipped channel to channel, you know, back when you used to have to hit, like, 0-0 to go back to your last channel. And that, I feel like that's really what it's going to be for this, you know. Just, you know, there's just a laugh on your controller now, and that's, it's going to be awesome. And, you know, as far as people being counted twice, I think I'm definitely going to be counted twice because, you know, multiple times, maybe even a segment if I'm not really into something or a commercial, I'm definitely going back and forth, and I can't wait for Wednesdays. And one more thing.
Sure, go ahead.
Yep. I'll be done.
Yeah, go ahead, Dick. Yep.
I think it's cool that, you know, there's been this hype on their entrance, a Slipknot song, and also their opening segment being a Slipknot song. I think it only adds because Slipknot has the number one album in, I guess, in the charts right now, but I've just had them in like 15 years, and I don't know, I just think it's good timing, and I guess good business moves, seeing as how they have the number one album same time as, you know, being fun. Okay. All right, that's all. Thank you, guys.
Sure. Thanks, Nick. Appreciate it. There's been some talk on the PW Torch Daily Cast, the PWT Talks NXT show, about how Triple H's taste in music might not be everyone's taste in music. And that might be one area where there's a little more influence of Triple H than is healthy for the diversity of songs. I've been a fan, for the most part, of NXT's entrance music. In fact, quite a bit. Some great themes were born there and carried over to the main roster. And I think they're really good in that way. The opening song, I don't know. It's fine. I mean, I SmackDown, to me, has the worst. You know, like, not currently necessarily because you never hear it. But over the years, like, there's just this I don't even know what to call the style. But this Raw always has something more upbeat, and SmackDown always has something that just I am not a fan of. So, I mean, it's music so personal. But that said, what do you think of what Nick said on the final point there about the music?
I think it is fortuitous because usually I am one to kind of be in the same boat where Triple H, the only thing I might not see eye to eye with him is his music choice. I had been forever in the, back when it was FCW, Coheed Cambria theme was probably my favorite back when they were on YouTube and all the other pre-WWE network showings. And really with NXT, I see what he's saying as far as like the disappointment and with AEW, the disappointment with the lower card. But one thing, and I'm going to have my friend Chris Maitland on for the deep dive to talk about this in a few weeks. This is going to be the very first time where you watch a developmental wrestling company and then also WWE. Because AEW very much on that lower end, some of the people they signed, if you look at like Private Party, if you look at the Dark Order, a lot of those wrestlers aren't, this is their first time on national television, where a lot of the folks that we're going to see on NXT might not have been on national television recently, but they've been in a better position where we've seen them all over the place, and this isn't going to be too big for them. And so that's going to be a question that we have to see. How much of it is going to be people learning on the fly how to handle a two-hour wrestling show when they haven't done it before?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I asked on Twitter while the show's been going on here, who is the underdog in the Wednesday Wrestling Night Battle? NXT, the third brand, developmental. Vince McMahon hands off. It's they're running in a low-budget situation, a studio setting at Full Sail. They are not the primary wrestling show on the network that they're on. There's a lot of wrestlers on that show that are going to get TV time who have not been on the show much, if at all. So you can make a case, you know, compared to the mighty billion-dollar family, multi-billion-dollar family, Khan family running the ship, and TNT giving all their resources to promoting AEW on Wednesday nights and no split allegiance. And, you know, the star power and depth that they have with Chris Jericho at the top, you know, Chris Jericho, bigger star than Adam Cole, Cody, more well-known than Velveteen Dream at this moment. I mean, you can make the case, but AEW does not have the corporate machinery and momentum of WWE behind it. NXT does not, or excuse me, AEW doesn't have Raw and SmackDown promoting it. So Rich, who's the underdog in this battle? Then I'll say what the early results are in the poll after that.
To me, I still see it as AEW because, again, they don't have that corporate advantage. They don't have the infrastructure that WWE has had for 30-plus years to kind of do this. And while that might be true as far as some of the wrestlers on the WWE, the NXT side, we also know that main roster folks are going to get brought over to help buttress that as well. So you will see Velveteen schmoozing with someone. And my countdown is once Velveteen's on USA Network, how long until he's on that first commercial when characters are welcome or whatever the new thing they'll have.
Yeah.
Because he's the first person I think of, like, you know, before Chris Lee with all the legal issues, he would have been the one I would have imagined doing the crossover. Like, I could just see Todd Chrisley like, well, what in God's name are you? You know, or something silly like that, or him and the mother-in-law like on the beat somewhere talking as the Temptation Island young men and women walk across and they're, you know, something stupid like that. But that's where I'm at on it.
Yeah, but then you look and you make your case well. But you look at the counter argument, which is Adam Cole, Velveteen Dream, Johnny Gargano, Matt Riddle, compared to Chris Jericho, Dean Ambrose / John Moxley, Kenny Omega, Cody. I mean, just from a pure, you know, top four, top five, Young Bucks, Adam Page, not nationally known stars at the same level. And then you kind of get down to, you know, Ciampa and Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish as maybe comparisons there. Women's roster, NXT a lot stronger at this point. But, stronger. I'm not sure how if I would go much stronger. But nevertheless, you can make a case. AEW is coming out with way more star power, way more payroll, way more national TV appearances, way more United States and Japan main events, a higher Q recognition rating out of the gate. I mean, I think you can make a reasonable case on both sides, depending on the criteria that you're stressing the most in subjectively, the criteria you're stressing the most. But in our poll, and it's early. What do we have? About 90 votes here. AEW, 53% see AEW as the underdog, 22% NXT, 25% saying it's an even battle at the start. I think you can make a case for both and feel good about yourself and not be mocked.
Yeah, the one thing I would warn AEW and the one thing I would encourage WWE to do is, and I mentioned this when I was watching Raw, you need to figure out, if I'm WWE, I figure out whatever segment they like to put Hangman Adam Page, and I somehow figure out the same time to have Dolph Ziggler on NXT. Just so, because, mother God, you look at the way those both of those men dress, and it's like someone's going to get called the copy of the other, and the sooner you establish your guy's the guy, the better you're going to be.
Funny. All right. We'll go to our last call here before we jump to mailbag. There's still some other things on SmackDown we haven't gotten to. I want to talk about Shane KO in particular, but a couple other things too. All right, so go ahead, International or Skype, if you heard a beep, a tone, that's you. State your name and where you're calling from.
Hi, Wade and Rich. I'm Valentin from Russia.
Well, very good. I hope you haven't racked up a big phone bill. Hopefully you're on Skype or something.
Yeah, I'm on Skype. Okay, I want to talk about...
Sorry about that. Can you spell your first name for us so I have a better idea of what it is?
Valentin.
Oh, okay. Sounds good.
I'm the one who sent questions to The Fix with Todd Martin.
Awesome. Well, good. Thank you. Good to hear from you. The Fix with Todd Martin, an international celebration every week. And it is great to hear from you on the show. Thank you for calling tonight. What did you think of SmackDown?
Good morning as well.
Thank you, Rich. I think Kevin Owens didn't look good tonight. After everything that went down between him and Shane, he's still asking Shane for something. And then, of course, Shane screws him over. I mean, if he's using Stunner, he shouldn't trust anybody, right?
Rich, how did you think Kevin Owens came across? I'm glad Valentin asked about this because I wanted to talk about this topic. Did Kevin Owens look too meek and weak, or is he being clever and trying to play Shane a little bit and putting his pride aside in terms of how he comes across in order to try to placate Shane so he can kind of, you know, play the game and get ahead? Obviously, in the end, it didn't work, and there should be a point where he snaps, but the price is so high because Shane's threatening his job. Of course, he could just end up getting fired and go to NXT. That'd be a boost for the Wednesday show.
Yeah, and I feel like it's more of the latter. I felt like if – just like we talked about earlier with Roman, I think right now they're in a very dangerous situation with Kevin Owens where they're playing him, because I'm looking at him kind of like when we think about the logic side of this. I've seen you on WWE television for the better part of a couple of years now. I just saw you on Twitter talking about signing a new 5-year deal. Much like when Roman says, I've got to feed my family. If you have $100,000 and that's the thing that you've been bummed out about for a couple of weeks, I got to wonder what you did with your money.
Yeah. It's Rich, is he going to come out? I mean, what do you see? Like, I'm watching this and I'm like, is he going to get fired because they kind of fell in love with the idea, even though it wasn't the original plan? Maybe they're intrigued by the idea of Kevin Owens under a mask tormenting Shane. I mean, I'm not against that. I could see Kevin Owens snapping, putting his hands on Shane or Elias or whomever, getting fired and coming back under a mask. And I mean, that's, as long as you don't do it more than once every 10 years or so, that can be fun if it's well done.
Yeah, I think that could work. But right now, I think he's at that, he needs to get to the tipping point where he doesn't care anymore. He tried that last week where, you know, just add $500 for this television. And now he's in that position now where he's constantly apologizing, and Shane, the king of sweat style, wearing a jacket, a leather jacket, regular T-shirt, and then underneath that, a referee jersey. That has to be the worst combination of clothing I've ever seen in a wrestling television show.
All right, Valentin, back to you. Anything else you want to respond to or add to?
Why did they change Elias' music? I don't think it's any good.
Elias's
question. Yeah, it's changed. Yeah. It sounds horrible.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Any theory, Rich, on why?
I mean, they're all done by the CFO, so it's not like they had a change in licensing or anything like that. Much like the pew with Ricochet, I think someone just had a bug in their ear and decided to change it.
Yeah. Valentina, anything else for us?
That's all I had for today. VIP subscription is my favorite wrestling subscription. And thank you for taking my call.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. Good to hear from you. Call again. I know it's like 6 a.m. there, so really appreciate it.
No, it should be 11, 11:24. It should be 12 hours.
It's 9 a.m. Yeah, I'm from Siberia. It's almost – it's 12 hours from Eastern time. It's 12 hours from Eastern time.
Okay. So, well, yeah, so either way, I mean, Russia's big, so there's various time zones. So, but, yeah, it's still early morning, so perfect. Yeah, appreciate you hearing.
Yeah. Udivitno to što ti zvoniš nam.
Спасибо. Okay.
I hope you guys kept that clean.
Oh, we did. We did. I just said thanks for calling us. It was awesome.
Awesome. Cool, Rich. I'm impressed. Valentina, you're impressed? Was that pretty good?
Yeah, absolutely. And I've heard, Rich, that you worked in Russia, right?
Yeah.
Yep, I worked State Department. I was in Moscow, Arkhangelsk, St. Petersburg, and then Omsk.
Cool.
Nice. Cool. Absolutely. Thanks, Valentina. All right. We are going to wrap up the color segment there. We'll come back. I want to talk a little bit about Orton and Kofi and the follow-up to that. And I also, what was the other thing? Oh, Heavy Machinery and the Revival, and just kind of in general, the Revival-Orton dynamic. So kind of subjects tied together a little bit, but those things we haven't explored very much. Plus, we've got some emails, and we will get to those right after our break. Again, I know what I was going to say. If you haven't yet and you have a question for the flagship, it can be in response to anything on Raw and SmackDown that Rich and I talked about tonight or that Zach and I talked about yesterday with the callers and emailers and outside correspondents. It can also be about AEW versus NXT, SmackDown on Fox, New Japan, ROH. There's still ROH and Impact. I feel like they're just getting squeezed out. They're going to have to do it's going to be tough for them to not be pushed away. Same with MLW. But send any questions for the flagship this week. Jason Paul making an early return. He's usually on every 3 weeks. He's going to stop back after just 2 weeks because of a scheduling conflict next week. So our email address for the flagship is wadekellerpodcast@pwtorch.com. wadekellerpodcast@pwtorch.com. And help contribute to the show with some ideas and some questions and some comments. And Jason and I can respond to them on the flagship this week. Get them in by early Wednesday afternoon so that we have a chance to fit them into the recording schedule of our show. All right, so after this, we'll be back with the post-SmackDown mailbag. Don't just listen to PW Torch's brand of wrestling coverage. Read it, too, every day.